my identity at the point. Like, I was a gymnast on the OSU gymnastics team. And that was taken away from me. You know, didn't have, like, that feeling of reward at the end. Woo! I don't want to get emotional, but...
Hi everyone, I'm Armand Ascari and I'm the host of YesAM podcast show. Make sure to follow our Instagram at YIA_YesAM so you will never miss a single episode of YesAM podcast. I am very happy and glad that today's guest said yes to this podcast because I'm pretty sure you will be leaving this episode very inspired, very, very inspired. Our guest today is the definition of resilience. She was a member of OSU gymnastic team, and she started her senior year in gymnastic team with struggle and injury. But she did not stop supporting and caring about her teammates. We are honored to have her out here at OSU. We are honored to have an All-American at OSU. She earned All-American title in her junior year here at OSU. I'm very happy that you're here with us, Mela. I cannot wait to talk to you, get to know you. And I always leave YesAM podcast episodes with way more knowledge, very more inspired. And I'm pretty sure this podcast will be absolutely amazing. So thank you for being with us. And how are you doing today?
Thanks for having me. That was such a nice introduction. I was not expecting that. I'm doing well. The sun has been out for majority of the day, which is nice, which I've missed. And yeah, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So I wanna start with asking a very, very hard question. Mela, can you do a backflip? No, I'm just kidding.
Honestly, I don't know if I can do it anymore. I mean, I probably have it in me, but I haven't tried. It's been months. And like my back has been, I mean, you talked about my injury, which was my back. And my back has been feeling pretty good. So I'm scared to like just go for it and chuck it and like hurt myself. So I've been staying away from like flipping. But yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I was reading this interview that you had, and they asked you what's the most annoying question that people ask you, and you were like, "Can you do a backflipping?" I was like, "Let me ask that question."
That was so funny.
Yeah, but let's get to know you a little bit more. So, Mela, what is your story, and why you do what you're doing right now?
Okay, so my story. It's hard because sometimes I like ramble, but I'm gonna keep it kind of short and sweet. So I was born and raised in Hawaii. I'm the oldest of all my siblings. I'm the only girl. You know how that goes when you're like the oldest and you're the only girl. You have so many expectations put on you and all that. But then I was put into gymnastics. Well, first I was a ballerina / hip hop dancer. I don't dance like that anymore. But yeah, and I was not having fun, but the gym was below me, my club gym. And I was like, I wanna do that. So my mom took me out of dance. I started my trial class and the coach said, wow, like she's gifted and stuff. And like my mom just kept me going to classes and all that. Became like a regular thing. Eventually started competing, not just recreational gymnastics. My mom was pretty strict. So like with school and gymnastics, I mean, she wasn't strict with gymnastics, but because school was always first, but she always wanted the best out of me. So I was just strictly doing school and gymnastics like my entire life up and before college. I mean, never mind. Okay, anyways. So I guess that allowed me to excel in both gymnastics and school. Though with that came with like sacrifices, like social life. No, there was no social life for me, which was okay because now I have friends and like lifelong sisters, which is really great. So yeah, I came to OSU, did gymnastics for 4 years, it was probably the best 4 years of my life thus far. I've learned a lot about myself and like my tendencies emotionally, and also my physical capabilities, even with like a back injury. So yeah, and I've just learned a lot about myself that we can get more into later if you ask me questions. But and unfortunately COVID cut my senior season short. Senior night didn't happen, postseason didn't happen, which was a bummer. Didn't have that closure, so that was really hard for me and like my teammates that also graduated and retired from the sport. And now I'm in pharmacy school. Everything's online, which is really, it's really tough, especially if you're going for a doctorate's degree. It's really hard. So that's kind of what I've been doing. But being quarantined, I mean, it's not really quarantine anymore, but just being stuck at home is kind of like, it's a great advantage for me to just like stay on top of things, which is good. So yeah, and I've been working as a pharmacy tech and getting in like intern hours for school. So I've just been really busy, and especially with school, but that's kind of my story. I forgot what the second follow-up question was, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to a little bit talk more about learning about yourself for sure. You know, there is this one thing people, I don't know if there's like a specific quote from like a specific person, but everyone says you gotta first love yourself before you love anyone else.
Oh yeah.
And that's a big part of learning about yourself. So if you want to like a little bit talk more about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think in high school, I was a little more insecure about things, like, especially because I didn't, not saying I didn't have friends, but my circle was small, you know, it was just kind of expected that, oh, Mayla couldn't come to this thing, she's doing gymnastics. So it's like, at that point in my life, I was kind of like, okay, well, I guess that's the only thing I'm good at, and like, I might as well just pursue that. So I thought that that was the only thing about me, that I was a gymnast and a student. And I mean, going to college and being a student athlete, I was just surrounded by a bunch of other student athletes. So it was different. Like I wasn't, like everyone else was in the same boat. Everyone else is just doing their sport and doing school. So it felt really good to be a part of a community like at OSU, especially like with my teammates. I guess I was like inspired and uplifted all the time. So that's kind of where I learned to love myself and just appreciate the grind that I had gone through for however long I was doing like gymnastics while like before college. So yeah, and my coach focused a lot on like loving ourselves and all that, because you can't be your best self if you like obviously don't love yourself. So, and we did a lot of that. But yeah, that's kind of the self-love. I've never really like had a time in my life where I was very like low and hard on myself. Actually, that's a lie. We're not. There was a time where I was like having a hard time with self-love because of like relationships and all that stuff, but I don't want to get into that. But in terms of like just looking internally, nothing like influencing me, I never really had like a place where I was like depressed or like, oh, I'm so ugly or anything like that. But mostly because I just like, not just like on the outside, I don't believe that. just like so hard to put into words what I'm trying to say.
It is. No, but,
I don't like to be outward about saying like, oh, I'm beautiful and all that stuff, but like I'm beautiful. Like I shouldn't even be hesitant about that, but not just, I don't like to focus on the external beauty. Like I like being internally beautiful and being true to myself. I think that's super important, and I'd rather shine from within than only outwardly. So, but that's kind of it. That's the spiel.
No, that was a very good point, you know, and the whole beauty and like the way that people will see you, it all starts the way that you feel about yourself first.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's why, I mean, like on Instagram, like girls and guys sometimes will be like, wow, like commenting, you know, like all the compliments, and it only runs so deep. Like, it's just a picture of me. Like, you don't really know me. So it's different. I never really cared as much. But when someone can compliment on like my being, I think that's the biggest thing and most important for me.
You know, that's very true. To a little bit get to know you a little bit more, let's think about when you were younger, you were in middle school and high school. Who did you think you will be at this moment right now?
Like in high school-ish? This is
Yeah.
a little far back. I don't even know what I was thinking, but well, at first I didn't think that I was gonna pursue gymnastics in college because I don't know. I think because of other influences, you know how I said that I didn't have a social life. I At some point, like my sophomore, junior year of high school, I was like, I don't want to do gymnastics if I'm not going to have friends. Like, so I was kind of at a low there, but I was still doing it because like my mom was strict, so she kept me in check. So, but I'm grateful for that. So I didn't think that I was going to do gymnastics. But also in the back of my mind, I knew I was going to just be thrown into it, which I was kind of. But I ended up loving it. So I'm glad it turned out great, but I don't know. I don't even know. Like, I knew I wanted to be a pharmacist, like in like my sophomore year.
Wait, even in high school, you know that?
I wanted to be in the pharmacy field since my sophomore year, because I like loved my chemistry class. I think it was my teacher.
Oh.
Yeah. And I like my mom is a nurse, so I always like experienced the nurturing and like all the medical
That's
stuff, and I wanted to be a part of that, and like I love to help people, especially with their health. But I hate blood, like I can't. I volunteered at a blood drive. And my team, I was with my teammates because we were trying to get volunteering hours. And
Yeah.
I was assigned to be like a donor buddy, where you like comfort the donor while they're getting their blood drawn. And I just like stood there and I felt so sick. Like, and my teammates were like, "Are you like okay?" And I was like, "No, like I have to leave." And yeah, and that's when I learned. This was in college too. And I thought that like in high school, I was like, oh, blood's whatever, but I still want to do pharmacy. But once I volunteered and experienced that, like I knew I can't be anything else other than a pharmacist. I mean, I could be like a dentist or something, but I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Like, I just, yeah. I didn't want to deal with blood. Don't ever want to do it. But I do have to give sh vaccines. But that's only a little
Just a little
blood. But that's okay. So that's good. Yeah. Yeah. And
That's funny.
I hate shots. But I mean, after I got the COVID series.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I feel kind of better about them, probably because I know that I'll one day be giving them. I don't know. So, yeah.
That's very interesting that you say you hate blood.
Yeah, I hate it. But I can watch it. I've been watching The Good Doctor. Highly recommend
Really?
Hulu. Yeah, it's about like an autistic, or I mean, a doctor on the spectrum. So it's very interesting. And I've been like used to seeing all the blood and stuff in the surgeries. So, but anyways, sorry.
Mela, you said something, and I'm going to quote you in Twitter, and I want to know what do you mean by this. because, you know, whenever we invite someone to a podcast, I really want to get to know them a little bit more so I can ask the right questions. And I read this from you, and it was very interesting to me, you know, and you said, believe me when I say God removes to replace is better.
Reading through my Twitter. Oh my gosh, yeah.
What do you mean by that? And that's very, I mean, I love that quote. I love what you said there. And that's true. I can like really see it in my own life, you know, because the way I see life is about anything that happens to you is for a reason. You know, anything that definitely happens to you is for a reason. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes us years to figure out why we met someone or why we that thing happened to us. But there is definitely, we will definitely figure it out one day. You know, I was talking to one of my mentor the other day, and he told me this one lady she met about 9 years ago, and he did not know why he met her till 8 years after. 8 years after that, he saw the influence of that one relationship that like opened in so many doors 8 years after. So I want to know, what do you mean by this code to believe me when I say God removes to replace is better?
Yeah. I don't remember when I tweeted that. I mean, probably related to whatever I was feeling or going through at the time, but like, for example, like COVID hit, got my senior night and the rest of my senior season taken away from me. Just like out of the blue, which sucks. And that's the thing that God removed from my life. And also removed that closure of my like literal, my identity at the point. Like I was a gymnast on the OSU gymnastics team. And that was taken away from me. You know, didn't have like that feeling of reward at the end. I don't want to get emotional, but I'm so emotional. It's really bad. Like, so sensitive. But
tell you something, Grace, I am an emotional person, but I never show it. But last week, Grace made me get very emotional. Let's see if you can do it to me too.
That's a lot of pressure. Good job, Grace. Yeah, so that's the thing that was removed from my life. But the thing that replaced it was just like all that time. I had so much time to really find myself and I guess dig deeper into who I was, not just a student athlete at OSU, like Mayla Lazar on the gymnastics team. Yeah. So I guess I just had that much time, started pharmacy school, and because of gym, I lacked a lot of like extracurricular experience, like even pharmacy experience too, just because I was doing so much like for gymnastics and for school, juggling a bunch. So I never really had the time to go volunteer at like a pharmacy or like in a hospital or anything like that. Never really like tried to run for any leadership positions for clubs and stuff. So I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just gonna do it. Like, you know, like I want to set foot like in pharmacy school, like my first year as someone other than, the student athlete that's now going to pharmacy school, because I'm like the only student athlete in the program or ex-student athlete in the program. And I feel like a lot of my cohort and professors are aware that I was on the gymnastics team, but I'm more than that. I don't want people to like in any way look down on me because I was a student athlete. You know how there's that notion that student athletes sometimes don't care about school, but that's like the total opposite of me. So I like reached out to professors, got myself out there. I've built great relationships with them because I knew that this is going to be like my career, like for the rest of my life. Like I need to take it seriously. It's not just undergrad. It's not just a way for me to get my degree. Like this is for life. Like I'm going to be dealing with this information and these relationships with, with like professionals and people in the field for a long time. So I ran for these two positions, got them, which is really great. So I'm a part of them. I'm like the marketing and research chair for Entrepreneur Academy for the, for the College of Pharmacy. They kind of just link business and pharmacy. So I added an MBA to my degree because because the pharmacy, because the school offers pharmacy students to get their MBA covered with pharmacy tuition, so basically for free. So I was like, you know, I'm just gonna do that. Like, might as well just get two in one. So, I mean, just doing that is just a huge leap that I've taken. It's like 22 credits a term, and I'm like low-key dying, but it'll be worth it in the end. It's just not something I would have done the last 4 years being a student athlete in undergrad. So I'm really glad I did that, and I just want to be taken serious. So that's kind of what drove me to do that.
That's very interesting that you said, you know, you want to find something after, you know, gymnastic, you know, who you really are. And that reminds me of my own story that end of my freshman year and during summer, I was feeling in a point I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm taking classes, but I don't know really why am I taking these classes, you know?
Yeah.
Why am I taking these classes? And I think a sequence of events pushed me towards getting to this decision that I'm going to say. And one of them was my grandma passed away and I failed the class and all this kind of stuff. And I start thinking that, do I want to live my life like yesterday? Or I want to get better and not be ordinary. You know, I want to be taken seriously. So that was a turning point for me, you know, end of my freshman year. Like, I don't want to live like this. And I made a big risk then. I made a big, very big risk then. And my risk was, I'm going to take my fall term off, the whole fall term off, to just figure out who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, figure out the heck of who I am. And at that time, you know, very low low confidence and all this kind of stuff. But I was like, you cannot live your life without knowing who you want to be, you know, who you really are. And there is this, there's one guy, I mean, after the podcast, I'm going to send after the podcast, I'll send you another podcast that I listened to, and I think you will enjoy it too. This guy, David, says, you got to surrender to yourself. You got to surrender to you, who you really are. Surrendering is not giving up here. It's about, you know, listening to your calling, your gift that you really have, you know. And he studied law and he got a law degree. He had millions of dollars, but he was not who he wanted to be. Law was not him, you know. And he figured out in 35, 40 years old. And the day that he figured out, he quit his job. It was like, I came all the way to my 35, 40 with the law, but I know all of these degrees and stuff gonna go waste, but I don't wanna live a day without being who I really should be.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I have my doubts with pharmacy just because I'm going through like the rough patches of your first year. Like, you're doing so much like memorization and all that. So I've definitely had doubts. Like, it's so not perfect for me right now. Like, but I do have faith. Like, I'm a religious person and all that stuff. And so like, I understand that whatever I'm doing, it'll help me in the long run. Like, doesn't matter. Like when I said God removes to replace with better, like, mm-hmm. God also puts things in your life that you can handle, and it's obviously for a reason. So like, I have like strong faith in that. And sometimes I'm like, do I even want to do pharmacy? Like, is that really my purpose? But I feel like sometimes you don't really know your purpose. You just have to like go day by day, just having faith that you'll be fine in the end. And I think it's important to have something that keeps you grounded. Like for me, it's God and like Christianity, all that stuff. It doesn't have to be God for everyone. It could be the universe. Like I have a teammate like Isis, like she's all into the universe and all that stuff. So, and I'm like, yeah, I'm here for it. As long as you believe in something and you that helps you to stay grounded, that's all you need to like feel fulfilled in your life. And yeah, so definitely not a perfect road. It's no, that's definitely not even a real thing. Perfection's not real.
Yeah. You know, what I started realizing is that the only way that you can really be who you should be is trusting the journey, trusting your path, you know, and knowing that whatever happens in my life, there is a reason for it, you know, as I said. And in last two podcasts, both of our guests said one thing that I love, absolutely love, and putting things in perspectives. Putting things in perspective, you know, like death of someone can mean crying, sadness, and all those kind of stuff. But at the same time, that loved one, you can look at their life and see what can you learn from them. Yeah. And that's a perspective. You know, I lost both of my grandmas. I'm an international student here and haven't seen my parents in for 5 years. And I lose one of my grandmas, and the that was my end of my freshman year. And then lose another one. I lost another one 7 months ago. And they're like two different type of events for me. I actually lost the one that I lost 6 months ago. I loved her way more, you know. But I put in a perspective, and you know, the way I thought about it, as like her soul now is going to be with me. You know, I'm whatever she did and I admired about her and I want to be that person. Now I can learn from it and take it within me. I got over my the other one after like 2 months, but this one took me 2 days. You know, because I put in a perspective.
Yeah.
So Mayla, let me ask you this one question, and then I'm going to tell you a scenario. Okay. Would you like to be a parent one day?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Sure. All right.
Yeah.
So let's imagine this one day. You're 80 years old, mm-hmm. and you're celebrating your 80th birthday.
Yeah.
And you're in your house. It's a surprise party for you. Your kids, your family, everyone is there. Everyone that you love is there. Mm-hmm. And your kids have a surprise for their mom. And that surprise is a letter that they're writing to you to let you know what you mean to them and what they have learned from you. What do you want that letter to say?
Oh, wow. That's deep. Oh wow. I mean, I write my mom letters like for Mother's Day and like her birthday because she likes that. She likes like handwritten notes. I believe I write good things. I guess wow, that's so hard. What a tough question. Oh my goodness. I guess I would want them to thank me for like loving them to the like my max like full potential, just love. Like I don't know. I'm a very like giving person, and I'm very selective with the people that I care about. I mean, I care about everybody, but like, you know, there's like a select few that I'm gonna be 200% about and like for. So I guess just I don't know how to say that, but I'd want them to also reflect that and realize that I did everything out of love, you know. Even if there were hiccups or like any arguments or anything, like I would want them to know that that's all out of love for me. So and to trust God, you know, always have that anchor. Yeah, that's kind of it that I can think of right now. I could go on if I had the time, because I'm such a, like, I need to sit with things and then I'll be like, okay, got it. Because I'm so bad on the spot.
It's okay. If you want to talk more about it, you know, always, I always prefer to get like deeper and answers than like just talking a lot about different stuff and with short answers. So if you want to keep going, keep going.
Yeah. You know, the question and answer type of interview. Yeah, I don't know, that would be the thing. I'm all about just outwardly giving as much as you can. And that's why I have high expectations for my life. Yeah. Like financially, like I want to have a good amount of money. Like I want to be doing great financially because I want to be able to give that, like, not for myself. Like it'd be nice to have money, but it, like, once it starts accumulating, it's like, what good does it do just for me? You know, I want to be able to spread that to others. I'm not just talking about money, like love too. Like I want to love myself as much as I can so that I can give it to others. So yeah.
You know, I actually very happy that I brought that code. Believe me when I say God removes your flesh. Because, you know, ever since we talked about that code, you know, it's been coming a lot in our conversation that, like, what that really means. And that's such a very, very meaningful thing to say, you know.
Yeah.
I think if you want to write a book, you can put that as a title.
Oh, gosh. There's something I didn't think I would say, like, about my past relationship. I didn't think I was going to even talk about that. But it is something that I experienced, and it's what has made me who I am. So that's good that I talked about it.
That's for sure. Yeah. I think one of the other things I want to know about you is, in your daily basis life, you know, like, what drives you, you know? Because one of the things that YesIAM stands for is, like, always know your why. Because when you know your why you do what you do, you will not stay up, stay in bed late, or you won't snooze your alarm. You just get up because there is something you want to get up for. There is something you want to get up for, and something you want to fight that day for. So what drives you, Mayla?
I think that gymnastics has made me very achievement driven. You know, yeah. You're always like, you're competing for a medal, you're competing for a title, like you're training to get a skill. Like I'm always just seeking a reward or like getting an achievement, which is good, but sometimes it can get really tough. Me and my teammate Isis, I don't know if you know her, but we talked about this because we kind of thought that gymnastics was our hobby, but yeah. You know, that came to an end, sadly, but and then we just realized we don't have hobbies, and it's because we're both like so achievement driven, and when you're doing a hobby, like, it's because you do it for fun. It's not because you're trying to win something. It's not because you're, yeah. And I realized that I don't have that. And I still don't really think I do. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess what gets me up in the morning, honestly, I don't like going to class from 8 a.m. to noon.
Neither.
Actually, on the laptop, like, I can't. It's so tough. Especially when you're learning about just straight science and a bunch of pharmacy stuff. It's a lot. Like, I'm grateful for the education, but it's so much at once. So I would say that I'm always like envisioning myself as my best, like in the future. Like I picture myself as a pharmacist. I mean, what I want to do, like my dream job, is to work as a like pharmacist for professional sports, like for professional athletes. But that's obviously very, very specific, and it's kind of competitive. But I definitely think that I can do it. Like, I'm totally capable. And I'm like, I'm not just trying to be a regular pharmacist that works at Walgreens. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but just for me, like, I know I'm capable of so much more, and I have a lot more to offer. So I kind of just always envision myself as the best that I can be. And who knows, maybe I won't be a pharmacist, but I always just feel like I want to be the best I can be in that moment. And if that moment is going to class at 8 a.m. to learn about a drug, then okay, I'm going to do it. So, yeah.
My dad always told me actually the same thing. Never start anything unless you're going to be the best at it.
That was the struggle with finding a hobby. Because it's like, if I'm going to be an artist, if I'm going to, I don't know, write songs, I want to be the best one out there. And that's not impossible, but definitely not going to happen overnight. And I would say I'm very patient, but also when it comes to like getting things done and just getting that reward, like I want to be timely. And, you know, if I'm trying to paint something, if it's not perfect, then I don't want to do it. I don't want to continue. So that's kind of why it's been really hard for me to find a hobby. So that's kind of the new project.
Gymnastic is a finite game. You know, there are certain rules. You got to follow them to become the best at it. But life is an infinite game. There's no set rules. There's no set rules that you need to follow or set scores that you need to follow to be the best. That's why we need to, you know, start thinking about it this way, that I just tried every day to be the best version of myself. Because in life, we are not competing against others, we're competing against ourselves.
Yeah. And that's, yeah. So when I was competing, like I wanted to be the best beam worker out there. And I tried to do that. And sometimes I failed, sometimes I succeeded. Yeah. I would say, you know, and that came with rules, like you said, and just like scoring sheets and all that stuff. But with life, it's so hard to be the best at life, because that's not a real thing. You can't just be the best at life. Yeah. Like, you got to be the best you. And that's really hard to do if you don't like love yourself. Yeah, it just goes back to the self-love and just having that purpose. So
You know, Mela, I've been enjoying this conversation a lot, especially ever since we talked about that coach, because that's I know I'm going to ask permission from you to use that code more often in my meetings. Because that's such an important thing, and that's such a great way to look at stuff, you know.
Yeah, and it's not just like specifically God. Like
it could be anyone, you know. You need to think of, you know, like some people may say, like, you know, I believe in universe or anything. You know, that's just like, I think the simple way of saying it is trusting their path, trusting your journey, and knowing that whatever happens is for a reason, you know. Whenever you lose someone, something better is waiting for you.
Yeah. Sometimes when you are going through that struggle, like, give yourself grace during that struggle. Like, you don't have to put up a front. You don't need to put on a mask. Like a full-on mask. You know, not a face mask. Everyone's wearing their face mask. But, there's just no point in doing that. You're just delaying your turning point. You might as well just cry all you need to, get angry all you need to in like a span of a day or two. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it took a week, and then the next week I was fine. But yeah, you just need to do that, because if not, you're just gonna blow up later on. You haven't accepted it. There's no closure. So yeah, you definitely need to give yourself the grace when things happen.
I was reading, I forgot, what was the website? It was like, I think untoldathletics.com. And there was a text about you. And they said, Mela is a definition of grace, resilience, and I think strength. And after this conversation, it all makes sense to me too.
Yeah. Yeah, I do live by grace. Like, that's really important to me. I don't know. In my Christianity, I kind of dug deeper after that happened my junior year. I was like doing one-on-ones with someone from my church, which really helped. I think that's kind of where I started to grow and find myself again. And that's where like everyone started saying like, oh, like she's full of grace, all that stuff. And seeing me as like the person who, I mean, I guess people just saw me as being tougher than I looked or had been, because yeah, it was rough. Just honestly, it was rough. Like, oof, really low time, but I'm glad it happened. Yeah.
Mela, we're getting close to the end of the podcast, and I love to ask at the end, what is the biggest lesson you ever learned in your life? And what is that lesson for you? What is that lesson that you think whoever is watching this would definitely also, if they apply that lesson to their lives, they will also benefit from and will live a better life tomorrow?
Yeah, I think, honestly, that quote is basically the lesson. Doesn't have to be God, can be the universe, can be your mom, it could be anything. But yeah, just trusting the process and realizing that it's not going to be a perfect road. Like, that's not a real thing. Like, the journey is everything, and you have to expect that things can go wrong and just be prepared for it. Well, actually, sometimes you don't know, because COVID happened. We were not prepared for that. But yeah, when things happen like that, like, again, you have to bring it back.
Yeah.
Back to like that faith, that grounding point for you to just move on, keep going. But yeah, again, God removes to replace it better.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, even COVID, when I think about COVID, for me, COVID was a blessing, a big blessing, because a lot of great opportunities came to my life with COVID. Because when COVID happened, I felt like, oh, no more socializing, no more networking, no more meeting new people. And I was like, oops. But then I figured out how it works. You know, I met this one person that opened thousands of doors for me. And like, now I'm doing the podcast. I'm meeting such a great people every time I talk, I have a podcast with. So it's definitely, even COVID, if you put it in the perspective, we can learn a lot from it, and we can find the blessing in this pain. Not as the, you know, again, we're not going to think about so many people died. We are thinking about, okay, what can I learn from being in quarantine? What can I learn from being alone with myself, you know, and like start loving myself and start tolerating myself, you know? Yeah,
that's where like being present in the moment is really important.
Yeah.
That's why meditation, like I live by meditation. I still use Headspace, and our coaches got us Headspace like 3 years ago. I still use it, like, because it can help everyone. I'm not trying, not being sponsored by Headspace, but yeah, just having that thing that gets you back to who you truly are and the present moment, because you want to be the best you can be in that moment. There's no need to worry about what's happened in the past, what's about to happen. Like, you don't want to miss anything just because you were thinking about something that was not in that moment, in the now.
Sure, for sure. We call ourselves Yes, I Am because we believe you can be the whoever or whatever you want to be that you will put in front of Yes, I Am. So what is Mela's Yes, I Am?
Oof. It has to be one word.
No, it can be a phrase. It could be a sentence. It's English. English, honestly, grammar doesn't make sense.
No. I would like to put grace in there, like the word grace. Yes, I am graceful. I'm full of grace. Yeah. That's it.
Wait, yes, I am full of grace.
Yes, I am full of grace. Wait. Oh, is it?
I said English is crazy, but like, you destroyed the whole grammar.
Oh my gosh, I'm exposing myself on this. She's supposed to be a doctor? She can't even talk. Oh my gosh. Wait, so do you want me to say yes, I am something?
Yeah.
Yes, I am graceful.
All right.
So embarrassing. Oh my god.
No. You did a great job. This conversation was definitely the best part of my day today. Oh. And I'm very happy that you said yes to this podcast and allowed us to get to know you a little bit more and get more inspired with your story. Thank you all, first of all, for watching. If you want to, or if you know someone that you think would be interesting to have them in our Yes I Am podcast, please let us know through our Instagram DM. Also, if you would like to get more involved at Yes I Am, let us know. You know, we would like to have you. And, you know, there is a room for anyone here at Yes I Am. So DM us for Instagram and let us know. And thank you, Mela, again for being with us today. And as always, yes, I am. Thank you.